The following is a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO on VOCM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with Nancy Snedden. I am Nancy Snedden. Thanks so much for tuning in today. On today's show, we're going to talk about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on small business. We know that small business is vital to our economy, especially here at home in Newfoundland and Labrador. And according to the latest statistics, national small and medium-sized enterprises employ 90% of the private sector workforce. That percentage of private sector employment is the highest in our province at 94%. Knowing these statistics and how we move forward and what support is made available is really vital to those businesses moving forward. So over the next hour, we're going to discuss the challenges business owners are facing and what owners need moving forward and how you can help. So joining me for that discussion is Jordy Morgan. He's the Vice President for Atlantic Canada for the Canadian Federation of Independent Business, and Matthew Galgay, Partner with BDO Canada and Audit and Assurance Leader for Atlantic Canada. So guys, thanks so much for joining me today.
Pleasure to be here.
Thanks, Nancy. Thanks for having us.
So for the past 6 months now, we've been in this COVID-19 pandemic, and you know, business owners have had many ups and downs, from complete shutdowns to limited reopenings to additional costs in order to reopen. I know there's been some challenges with staffing, and of course, reduced revenue and reduced sales. So where do businesses stand right now? Well, according to the CFIB latest dashboard, nearly three quarters at 70% of businesses nationally are fully open, but less than half at 40% are at or above normal staffing levels, and only 30% are at above normal revenues. So here in Newfoundland and Labrador, those numbers are a little different. Three quarters at 77% are fully open. More than half at 58% are at or above normal staffing levels, but only 16% are at or above normal revenues. So they have only 16% of businesses, Matthew, at normal revenue levels. That's concerning for certain.
Yeah, actually, Nancy, that statistic is absolutely staggering, and that stood out to me as well. And, I mean, we're here in late September, you know, heading into the fall and winter. And to me, that's a really concerning number.
Yeah, for certain. And Jordy, I know the CFIB has conducted several polls pertaining to the future of small business since the pandemic started. And the most recent one, of course, most recent dashboard was released just this week. But one in seven small businesses are at risk of going under because of COVID-19. This is in addition to the ones that have already closed. The CFIB's mid-range estimate for business closures due to COVID-19 is at 158,000. That's 14% of small businesses nationally. And depending on how the recovery goes, your organization says that losses could be as few as 55,000 or as many as 218,000 nationally. That's really concerning to me as well. How are your members feeling about that, and what are you hearing?
I think the point that needs to be made is over the next few months, a lot of businesses are going to be feeling the impact of the economic downturn in a way they haven't before. The government has done a lot to mitigate this. There's been a lot of money that's flowed, whether it be through the CERB, which has gone, principally to employees, but there are business owners that have taken advantage of that because they were locked down or shut down. And if they're a sole proprietor or a small business, they've been able to take advantage of that. We've seen the wage subsidy extended. We're looking at other, program developments from the provinces. And what's happening is that we're not really seeing what's coming after this. And, you talk about a second wave. I think the second wave that we're looking at that's going to be really pronounced is the economic impact of all of this. There is a wave of debt burden that is coming that has been essentially deferred. And there doesn't seem to be right now a plan from either the federal government or at least anything that's being articulated from provincial governments that says how we're going to get through this. So I think there's a considerable amount of anxiety about that. While people have been able to reopen and there has been some optimism, I think that light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train, and we better prepare for it because it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been saying that since this started, just over 6 months ago. It's the uncertainty of how things are going to unfold. How is the recovery going to unfold? Is there going to be a second wave? Is there going to be another shutdown? Are there going to be other measures that come into play that increase costs for business owners to continue operating? There's so much uncertainty, and I think that's what causes stress and anxiety for business owners for certain. And for businesses that are fully open, when they were asked by your organization, Jordy, why their revenues were down, there was a mix of responses. So more than half at 58% cited fewer customers. About half at 48% say customers are spending less. That's not surprising to me because I think because of the uncertainty and the job losses and the number of people that were already living paycheck to paycheck, they're probably conserving their cash flow right now because they're feeling uncertain about the future as well. We had more than one quarter at 28% say it's due to operational challenges, and one in five say it's due to government restrictions or limits on business activities. So, Matthew, what are you hearing from the business community here in Newfoundland? Are you finding that business owners are getting back on their feet here?
Well, I think the statistics speak for themselves, Nancy. While, three quarters of the businesses are reopened, as you mentioned before, less than 20% are back to their full revenue. So no, we're not back to where we need to be. And as Jordy mentioned, we really don't have a plan from either the federal or local governments in supporting business owners here locally. So for me, Nancy, we need to continue to be vocal as a business community. We need policy change. We need a plan moving forward. What I'm hearing from the clients that I work with, and you mentioned a few of them, some of them are really struggling to get staff back in the door. You know, the government is kind of, teetering on the balance of obviously supporting employees, but you also need to get them back into the workforce. So we're seeing HR issues. We're seeing costs involved in reopening their businesses. We're seeing businesses that may not have invested, say, in online, e-commerce, digital investments in the past are really struggling, those brick and mortars. So Nancy, it really depends on the industry and the market. But overall, every single business has been impacted by this in some regard.
I agree. I think some industries have been hit harder than others, but everyone is feeling it somewhere along the way. And of course, as you mentioned, Matthew, the government has announced several measures throughout this pandemic, both to support individuals and businesses. Is it enough? And what are we going to need moving forward? We're going to talk about that when your money returns. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Today's topic is the COVID pandemic and the challenges business owners are facing. Joining me for the discussion is Jordy Morgan. He's the Vice President of Atlantic Canada for Canadian Federation of Independent Business, and Matthew Galgay, partner and leader of the Assurance and Accounting Practice of Atlantic Canada here at BDO. So when this crisis began more than 6 months ago, the federal government did announce stimulus support for businesses. Among them was the Canada Emergency Business Account, the Canada Emergency Wage Subsidy, and of course the Canada Emergency Commercial Rent Assistance Program. So Jordy, there's been some debate on whether these programs were enough. There's been flaws in them. Do you think that it's been enough for small business to get through this?
I think it's been a help, and certainly we've, been supportive of some of these things. But since this began, and you said we've done several surveys, we've actually done 20. We started surveying our membership back at the end of March, and we haven't really stopped. I know it's been sort of fatiguing for our members, I think, at times. But what we wanted to do was provide some real-time feedback to decision makers in government so that they would understand how some of these programs were impacting business as it rolled out. And we were making recommendations all along. You talked about CEBA first. That's a Canada Emergency Business Account. That is actually facilitated by the banks. What they were able to do is to provide a loan, and 10% of that loan was forgivable. So they're looking at $40,000 loans, and not 10%, but 25% was forgivable on that $10,000. And so that was a help because that acted a bit like a grant, because a lot of people were concerned really about taking on additional debt loads. What we found, however, is, that money runs out pretty quickly. So we've been asking for that to be increased and the forgivable portion to be increased as well. The wage subsidy has had a pretty big impact. problem was it was a little late coming out. It should have come out earlier. They were originally looking at 10%. We fed back that that was nowhere near enough. So the 75% wage subsidy has been very, very helpful. And we've seen extensions there. And that has actually kept a lot of people afloat. And it was one of the preferable programs because what it did is it kept employees attached to the workforce, which is good. The CERB was there for individuals. That we, you know, we mentioned that earlier. But the Canada Emergency Commercial Rent Assistance has been a disaster since the beginning. It was far too much paperwork. It involved landlords taking part in this. Rent has been a serious, serious issue for a lot of small business owners. We've been asking for improvements. We've seen an extension till the end of September, but the improvements of the way the program is administrated and some of the eligibility requirements are just not there. So have they been helpful? Absolutely. Have they been perfect? Far from it. But, you know, everybody's been sort of building the plane while we're flying it. And, you know, this has been a pretty remarkable policy development process because we've seen, you know, government responding, you know, in matters of weeks or days, when normally it takes months and years. So, you know, we've got to give credit where credit is due, but we still have to keep, I think, our eye on the ball and understand that these programs are still necessary.
Yeah, we're certainly not out of the woods yet. And as we're hearing now in the media that potentially, you know, Quebec, Ontario may be entering a second wave, I know there's probably lots of questions on the more and the business owners as will these supports continue to get extended. Matthew, I know we've been helping existing clients and new clients that come to the firm with these programs and their eligibility and so on. What are you hearing from them? What do they need to see from government?
Yeah, so first of all, I agree with everything Jordy just said. That was a great summary. I love that analogy of we're building the plane as we fly it. So yeah, while it's been a bit bumpy, a lot of these programs have absolutely helped support the clients that I work with. I'm typically an optimist, but I think we're a solid year out from some sort of normalcy, and that might be at the earliest. So to me, and when I'm talking to business owners, it's okay, we've sort of gotten through the last 6 months. Now, what do the next 6 to 12 months look like? And it's tricky. It's not easy. I like how the federal government has been nimble, as Jordy mentioned, in responding to the business community and changing on the fly. But I think it's time to pivot again, and we've got to see a plan moving forward. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, and you're right. There's been some consultation, I guess. There needs to be continued consultation with businesses in general, but also with organizations like the CFIB to hear what business owners are looking for. So on that note, Jordy, I know you're in constant contact with business owners in your membership. What would they like to see from the federal government moving forward to get back on their feet?
Well, it's really interesting. We did a survey and we asked just exactly that question, and asking businesses what the minister should focus on to support business and economic recovery. And interestingly, hold federal taxes down. I mean, that's always a problem. I mean, improve, you know, some relief measures for business payroll was big in there as well. This is for businesses that were partially open, improve relief measures for business cash flow, some of the programs. But again, at the top of it is taxes. And, you know, payroll taxes are such an important part. And we've seen increases to CPP. You know, we're very concerned about what's going to be happening with EI. Yeah, I know that they're making some changes to make it look a little bit more like CERB, which is frightening at best. But we're just hoping that before they make any of these changes permanent around EI, for example, you know, reducing the amount of time that's necessary for people to work in order to receive it, before they make it permanent, they really have to talk to business about this and understand what the impact is. Some of the other things, you know, like focusing on red tape is always an issue, administrative burden, program administration. But and a big one was also encouraging shopping independently at Canadian-owned businesses. And we've been really active on that file, trying to impress upon people that it is so important that you consider, when you're spending your dollars, you consider local businesses. They're dependent on you. I mean, God bless the big box stores, and it's really easy to get, you know, great big packages of stuff, and, you know, everybody needs, you know, 7 gallons of mustard. But the idea is that you've got to look at the small businesses that are in your community, and if you don't patronize them, they're not going to survive. So we're really, really putting a lot of emphasis on encouraging people to do that, because the government is not going to create this recovery. This recovery is going to come from the private sector and from the population. And it means that there has to be participation from both in a big, meaningful way. So I can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we talk on the show all the time about the importance of supporting local business, shopping local, staycations to help the tourism industry and so on. So with all the things that are happening and not knowing when a second wave could hit and the impact that that could be, what could business owners be doing to prepare? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm Nancy Snedden. Today's topic is the COVID pandemic and the challenges business owners are facing. I'm joined today by Jordy Morgan. He's the Vice President for Atlantic Canada at the Canadian Federation of Independent Business, and Matthew Galgay, Partner and Leader of the Accounting and Insurance Practice for Atlantic Canada here at BDO. So, gentlemen, we've been talking about all the government programming that's been in place, the supports that business owners would like to see. But, Matthew, as we head into the fall and not knowing really what that is going to look like, and as we get, you know, even past the fall into the winter, you know, the reality is we may never know exactly when we're going to get back to normal, and we really need to focus on what our new normal is. So what can business owners be doing now to help prepare them for their new normal?
Yeah, so I'm a big proponent on business owners having the data to make smart business decisions. And what I mean by that is you have to know their numbers, you have to know your people, you have to know the technology you have in place. So we've been really working closely with our client base around cash flow management, budgeting, forecasting, looking at scenarios A, B, and C, you know, the worst case scenario versus sort of the best case scenario, and just playing out the what ifs, because there is so much uncertainty, but you have to try to predict in some regard what your customers will be looking for, what your staff will be looking for, and how you're going to operate as a business moving forward. So I guess, Nancy, you really have to try to estimate and budget moving into the future.
Yeah, and to your point, far more frequently than you may normally be, right? I mean, even as a business, we're reforecasting every month to see what our year looks like. And I suspect that would be your advice to many businesses out there that are facing some uncertainty and keeping on top of what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd even challenge, you know, maybe even daily to look at cash flow management. This really is an unprecedented time. And if you don't know your numbers today, you're going to be even more in trouble moving forward. So absolutely, you got to stay close to it.
And Jordy, what are you telling your members? Like, what advice are you giving them on how they can be adapting to this new normal?
Well, I think, you know, an awareness of what is available out there is really important as well. Our business counselors, you know, have been taking a lot of calls from business owners about trying to navigate through some of these government programs and whatnot. Doing that efficiently is really important, but also being aware of what is available out there for you to take advantage of. There are programs, and there have been programs that, you know, we've seen that haven't been fully subscribed, and some of that money is available. Thinking about that, understanding, you know, debt, as you mentioned, I mean, that's your world, understanding how to manage that. Making sure that they have a strong view of reality, which is data driven. And I think, you know, I couldn't agree with Matthew more on that. That's, you know, so important for small business owners to really, really stay in touch with where their numbers are going and doing regular assessments of, you know, where they can actually pivot. This has been a time of some pretty remarkable innovation. We've been on the front of this trying to ensure that governments are allowing for innovation by, you know, taking barriers out of the way. And I think, you know, there's been a couple of ones that I think are fairly obvious. There have been, you know, patio laws that have been improved so that people can actually get their permits and have a little bit more space to operate in, because that's important. I mean, there's been some alcohol restrictions that have been removed that have been helpful. There's a lot more that government can do. And one of the things that we're continuing to tell government is you have to look at the regulatory burden. You have to understand what sort of impact it has on business. You have to understand that if you remove some of that burden, that it's going to create more flexibility for businesses to operate, and it's not going to cost government that much. You know, you pull a couple of regulations out of the way, the sky doesn't fall, we're not all thrown into chaos, and, you know, life goes on. But, you know, and a lot of this, the regulatory burden that we've seen is stuff that's just kind of piled up over time for one reason or another. And that's the red tape that we talk about, that people say, why does that law exist? What is it doing for us? How is it meeting any policy objective? If a government can't answer that, then it's not a good regulation. So we've spent a lot of time on that. I know that you were asking specifically what business owners could do, but I guess the key here is that keeping a good eye on the horizon, understanding, you know, where you are relative to Your cash flow and all the other important aspects of business is very, very important.
Yeah, and I know a lot of business owners, I mean, some are better than others when it comes to that sort of stuff, forecasting and cash flow modeling and all that kind of stuff, because some business owners are, you know, experts in the business that they're delivering versus the business side of their business. Matthew, I would guess that, like me, you would encourage them to reach out for professional advice to make sure that they're not getting to the point where they may have to close. If they got the advice sooner on maybe how they could better manage or forecast and that kind of thing sooner, they may be able to avoid getting to that point.
Yeah, I fully agree, Nancy. As I mentioned before, you need to have clear and accurate data to make decisions. If not, you're flying blind. I think the only other thing I would add, Nancy, is beside knowing your numbers, you know, look at the technology you're using. I know we throw out the big word sort of digital, but even for our small to medium-sized enterprises, how are your tools internally? Do you have the ability to have online sales? Because what we've seen from our client base is those that had those digital strategies in place, including e-commerce, including having that information, as we mentioned, with regards to cash flow modeling and budgeting on their internal IT systems, those are the companies that are doing much better during this pandemic. So I think everyone should be revisiting their technology approach as well.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, everyone wonders what the road to recovery is going to look like. Well, there's been a recent survey that talks about just that, and we're going to talk about that when we return. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Today, we're talking about the impact of the COVID pandemic and what that has meant to businesses here at home. I'm joined by Jordy Morgan. He's the Vice President for Atlantic Canada for the Canadian Federation of Independent Business, and Matthew Galgay, partner with BDO Canada and also the leader for our accounting insurance practice here in Atlantic Canada. So these certainly have been challenging times for business owners, and a return to normal revenues is what many businesses need to continue to operate. After all, you can only operate at a loss for so long, and we talked in the last segment the importance of continual cash flow modeling and forecasting to make sure that your operations are going to be able to continue as best as possible. But as we discussed at the top of the show, sales have been slow to recover. And we know, according to surveys conducted by the CFIB, that when business began to reopen back in June, sales only reached 17% of normal sales. The latest September statistics show that, again, only modest improvement with 30% of businesses reaching normal sales. Jordy, I know your organization has done some modeling to say, you know, how is this recovery going to go? And it's been different depending on the industry, but what can you tell us about that?
Well, we put a release out, and the headline on it, you know, is are we in for an L-shaped recovery? For those who are not, you know, spending every day in economics, it's basically a type of recovery characterized by a very slow rate of recovery with a lot of persistent unemployment, stagnant economic growth. They generally follow economic recessions. When you have a steep decline, but you don't have a correspondingly steep recovery. There's been a lot of talk about this idea that there would be you know, a lot of pent-up demand and the type of things that, you know, that we would bounce back. Not really happening. And a lot of the numbers that we have are really, really worrisome. I think if we were to look at the projected time for businesses to be back at normal revenues again, given the pace that they are actually recovering now, when we look at hospitality, that being restaurants, hotels, that kind of stuff, it's not expected to return to normal for 8 years.
Oh, my goodness.
8 years. Enterprise administration, that would be like, you know, staffing, building management agencies, that stuff, 5 years. Professional services, almost 3 years. Finance, insurance, real estate, and leasing, another couple of years. And so, I mean, we're talking even the, you know, mid-range with construction and retail and, you know, some manufacturing, you're talking a little over a year. And that is really, it's a projection, and I want people to understand that, you know, it is a theoretical projection to sort of help people understand the current pace of economic recovery that's underway. But it shows that if nothing is done in the short term to kick the recovery into a higher gear, that we are headed for an L-shaped recovery. And that means essentially that we have a very slow recovery coming out of this recession. So the reason that we put this out is to impress upon the decision makers who are looking at public policy, who are looking at ways to help they really need to be engaged. And Matthew talked about it earlier, but you know, we were very interested in seeing what's going to happen with the throne speech. There are priorities there, but it's clear that there needs to be a plan and it has to be articulated. It doesn't necessarily mean the government has to just start writing checks, but it has to have some leadership and some vision on how we're going to get through this. That is what they're there for. And I'm very, very hopeful that we're going to be seeing some kind of leadership and direction from our leaders, you know, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I read an interesting quote actually in the Retail Insider, and it says, I think January of 2021 is going to be a bloodbath. I think we're going to see a substantial amount of store closures in Canada, probably the most we've seen in our lifetime in such a short period of time. And when I hear projections like you've got there, Jordy, with, you know, hospitality, restaurants, hotels, and so on, taking 8 years potentially to recover. I mean, I don't know many businesses that have, you know, cash flow and savings and so on to sustain limited operations for an 8-year period. So, you know, when I hear those types of numbers and then read things like January 2021 could be a bloodbath for businesses closing, I mean, that really is staggering information. And we don't want to get there. We want to help businesses, and we want to make sure that we're recovering and we're not taking 8 years to return restaurants and hotels to their normal operations. So, Matthew, if we want to pick up the pace of recovery, what do you think is needed for us to do that?
Yeah, and there's just not one silver bullet. So, and it's not just the federal government, it's also the provincial government and the municipalities working with the business communities moving forward. For me, there, I guess there's two examples of, I would say, bright spots here in Newfoundland with regards to getting a shot in the arm with a bit of stimulus. One was the home construction rebate, and the second was here in St. John's, the pedestrian mall on Water Street. And, you know, two of those cases, really, the provincial government, the city of St. John's, and the business community really got innovative, and they weren't just handing out money or changing policy just to change policy. They really worked with the business owners to come up with solutions. Now, listen, we're going to need more than the Water Street Pedestrian Mall and more than the home construction rebate to get us through the next 6 to 12 months, don't get me wrong. But we really need to look at pockets in each of our communities to get us through this, because it can't just be the federal government handing out wage subsidies forever. It's just not sustainable. So for me, Nancy, you know, those two instances, you know, if we can replicate those scenarios throughout our communities in Canada and be customized to each of our business communities, then I think it's going to take everyone as we're getting through this pandemic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're right. I mean, the government, to some extent, does need to take the lead on supporting as to help us get through this. But as we mentioned at the top of the show, the deficit is growing and growing and growing, and it's not sustainable. So we do need to make some changes as an overall community to make sure that we're moving in the right direction. So what can you as the consumer be doing to support small business? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Please stay with us.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden. My guests today are Jordy Morgan. He's the Vice President of Atlantic Canada for the Canadian Federation of Independent Business, and Matthew Galgay, partner and leader of our audit and assurance practice in Atlantic Canada for BDO Canada. So as we've been talking about the challenges business owners have been facing due to COVID pandemic, and you know what, there are so many, and we've listed, you know, just some of them here today. We've talked about the supports that are in place for government, and there's no doubt that over the last several months, there's been a lot of stress on business owners and uncertainty with what's going to happen with the months to come. So as we discussed earlier, business owners are looking for support. And not just support from government, but support from Canadians and here at home, Newfoundland and Labradorians, to help them. And Jordy, I know your organization has a movement underway. It's hashtag Small Business Every Day. It's a campaign that's led by the Canadian Federation of Independent Business. And what would you like our listeners to know about that, and how can they help?
I think it's, Nancy, about intentionality in people's decision making around what they're going to do and how they're, you know, how they're going to be spending their money to support their own community. We have for years had Small Business Saturday. So, every, you know, once a year we would emphasize that, you know, get out. And this is, you know, a little bit prior to Christmas. It's in November. And we'd ask people to go out and, you know, on a Saturday, go to their small businesses and instead of maybe going to the big box store and make purchases there. The Small Business Saturday is not really going to cut it anymore. So it's now Small Business Every Day, because it really has to be something that people need to be thinking about and being intentional about. So, you know, even if you're making a purchase of a larger item, whether it be a washing machine or a refrigerator or something else that you're getting for your home, I mean, think about the local suppliers there as well. It's not just the bakery or not just like, you know, your pizza shop. Well, that's great that it's terrific that you're, you know, frequenting those as much as you can. But thinking about some of the other businesses that are around in your community that are locally owned, the locally owned shoe store, you know, the jewelry store, that kind of thing. People who are in your community have been sponsoring your sports teams, who, you know, you see at church, you know, folks that are a part of the fabric of your community. And then when you're driving down Main Street, have a look and just think about those businesses being closed and what that would do for your community in terms of the desirability of living there. And we're interdependent here, and we want people to understand that that's what small business is all about. When we say it's the backbone of the economy, this is not hyperbole. It is what keeps our economy chugging. You know, yeah, large industrials and you know, multinationals, they're nice to have, you know, to be able to go and get things. But the people that are there, that are living in your community, that are generating employment, you know, that are giving your kid a job at a school, those are the folks that you really want to be thinking about supporting here. And what we're asking is people just be intentional about it. They spend a little bit more time thinking about a purchase that they're going to go out and make, understanding that the dollars that are going into the big box stores are not necessarily staying in the community, at least not as much as they would be if you were at a small business. And you know, Newfoundland and Labrador is a wonderful, wonderful place with the greatest people in the world. And you support one another in hard times. And this is a time that we're asking you to really hang your thinking on that, that you want to be supporting your friends and your neighbors and your community. And the Small Business Everyday campaign is all about that. So, again, it's about intentionality of decision-making and your spending. And we're asking people, please, give it some consideration. I'm not telling you how to spend your money, but give consideration to those people who are part of the fabric of your community when you're making spending decisions.
Yeah, and I love that your comment on, you know, it's really important to support, you know, the local restaurants, bakeries and that, but to think broader than that. Because lots of times I think people do think about local business with regards to those types of hospitality industry, but there's so much more local business here in Newfoundland and Labrador than that. And it is important that no matter what you're doing with regards to the purchases or spending, that you do try to support local business as much as you can. So, Matthew, what would you like to say to listeners about the importance of supporting local business here at home?
Yeah, so I just echo everything that Jordy just said. Small business is truly the backbone of our economy. It's our friends, it's our family, and we need to invest back into the local business community. So we're heading into obviously winter, Christmas, lots of Christmas shopping. I know my wife and I are looking very hard at shopping as much as possible with local Newfoundland and Labrador suppliers for all our gifts for Christmas. So I think, you know, I really stress to people, as Jordy mentioned, we can't tell you how to spend your money, but just give it some thought. There's some really great local companies out there. And as we're heading into the holiday season, let's support our own at home.
Yeah, and that's a good point. We are coming into the holiday season. But, you know, we talked earlier in the show that there's concern that consumers are spending less. So, Jordy, with that in mind, how worried are you for small business with regards to this holiday season? Like many of them, I guess, are really looking forward to the holiday season to see an uptick in sales. How concerned are you that consumer spending will be down and the impact that that could have on local business?
Very concerned. I mean, this is why we're doing what we're doing and really trying to encourage people to think about maybe changing some of their habits away from, you know, the multinationals into local community spending. I mean, as I mentioned, you know, when I was talking earlier, think about what your town's going to look like if those businesses are closed and what that means for the fabric of your community. When a business closes, there's, you know, ramifications all around. It's not just that particular business owner. You're talking about employment. You're talking about, you know, availability of services in your community, all of that. And it is so important that we understand that, you know, a lot of these businesses have been living on a knife edge through this pandemic and are hanging on by threads. And they're hanging on because they, you know, entrepreneurs are by nature optimistic. They're working because this is their livelihood, and they've invested, you know, their capital in this. They've invested their sweat equity. You know, the investment of their time and energy into their community through this business is really significant. And, you know, Matthew said we need to reinvest back with them again. So I can't emphasize the importance of being intentional about your spending, thinking about it, considering local businesses, especially this time of year. There's going to be a lot of make or break going into the Christmas season. And so we're just asking to help your local businesses make it through this so that they can survive and come out the other end stronger, we hope.
Yeah, such an important message. You're listening to Your Money. When we return, we'll have some time for some final thoughts.
Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Your Money with BDO. I'm Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. I'd really like to thank my guests for joining me today, Jordy Morgan, Vice President for Atlantic Canada with the Canadian Federation of Independent Business, and Matthew Galgay, Partner and Audit Assurance Leader for Atlantic Canada with BDO Canada. So, guys, we've got some time now for some final thoughts. Matthew, I'll start with you. If you could leave our listeners with some final thoughts today, what would they be?
Well, so from a consumer perspective, as we just mentioned in the last segment, you know, consider buying local, supporting the local business community. From a business owner perspective, we talked about it. You need to be prepared moving into the fall and winter. I think we do have a long recovery period. You need to know your numbers. You need to know your people. You need to know your technology. If there are any government officials listening in, you know, continue to listen to the business community. We need to be nimble. We need to be innovative. We need to have a plan. And I hope both from a federal perspective and from a local government perspective, we can work together with that business community, because we need to have a very, very detailed plan moving forward over the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, planning is certainly going to be key for government and for businesses as we move forward. And consultation, right, working together to make sure that the plan is going to be effective for those on the ground that need it. So thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Nancy.
And Matthew, if anyone wanted to reach out, if they wanted some help with, you know, what their financial outlook looks like on ways that they could improve or better utilize their technology, for example, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so Nancy, I advise people to go to our website, www.bdo.ca. And once you get to the site, you can see and contact a list of people, including myself. And we actually have a separate COVID-19 recovery site within BDO.ca around how companies can respond and recover and hopefully grow as we come out of this. So please visit the website, and it's easy to navigate from there.
Great. Thank you. And Jordy, for you, if you could leave our listeners with some final thoughts today, what would they be?
I think we have to understand, Nancy, that this is not the responsibility only of government to help us out of this. I mean, this is going to be a collective responsibility. Everybody, I think, needs to start thinking about how they can contribute in a meaningful way to get us through this. We had a lockdown. People understood that there were personal responsibility there to keep each other safe and to contribute to the well-being of their friends and neighbors. And now we've been very fortunate at Atlantic Canada. We haven't seen the kind of resurgence they have in other parts of the country. You know, we have to understand that that is going on in Quebec and Ontario and other provinces where we're seeing another spike. We seem to have flattened the curve pretty effectively here, and I think that folks are pretty proud of that. But we're still going to be dealing with the economic damage that has been caused by this, as we've said, and the evidence that we've provided, for a long time to come. You know, things aren't going to be back to what they were by, you know, this time next year. We're going to be dealing with this for a very long time. And so it's about, I think, changing some habits, thinking outside the box for business owners a bit in terms of how they can innovate, how they're going to be able to, as Matthew said, use data, use what is at their disposal, and don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help. CFIB has been, you know, in this game for a long time, helping small independent business owners across the country. We have business resource counselors that are available. You don't have to be a member to call. You simply have to, you know, go to our website. There's a 1-800 number that you can call, and you can ask about what issues you may be having with a government program, that there are people there that are available to help. And I know that there are, you know, in some of the provinces there are business navigators that are available, but CFIB is there to do that for you, and you'll find an actual human being. You're not going to just end up on a phone tree. And if you do end up with having to leave a message, we'll get back to people very, very quickly. We have a 24-hour service standard. So don't be afraid to reach out and help if you feel that you need it. But I'm not sitting here selling memberships. I mean, I'm saying we've opened this up to all businesses across the country during this, but consider a CFIB membership if you can. They're very affordable, and it provides you a broad range of services as well, and perhaps some savings. But whatever it is that you're doing in your business and the way you're conducting it, I think you have to understand that we're not going to be through this for some time now. So there have to be some innovative thinking around that. Finally, for policymakers, engage with the business community. Understand what the requirements are. Look at ways that you can reduce regulatory burden. Look at ways that you can actually impact where it's going to do the most good. It's not just about writing checks. It's about finding ways to enact policy decisions that are going to be helpful in terms of people's helping people survive, because it is going to be a pretty tough few months that we have coming up. Everybody's going to have to be rowing in the same direction to mitigate the damage.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's got to be a team approach here. It's not one agency's or one business's or just individual responsibility, right? Everyone has to work together to get to the end goal, which is keeping as many small businesses in our local communities operating as possible. So thanks again for joining me today. And Jordy, just one more time, if you want to give our listeners some contact information for your organization, if they wanted more information from you.
CFIB.ca is the easiest way to do it. You'll find all the information on our website. It's pretty easy to navigate. And don't forget, the smallbusinesseveryday.ca is where you can find out more about things that you can do. Take a small business challenge and help small businesses in your community.
Great. Thanks for joining me today. As always, I do want to hear from you, my listeners. If you have a comment or question or topic you'd like us to discuss on Your Money, you can email me at yourmoney@bdo.ca or give us a call at 800-563-8337. Until next week, I'm Nancy Snedden. Stay safe, shop local, and be well, everyone.
If you have a question or comment for Your Money, send an email to yourmoney@bdo.ca. This has been Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees, on VOCM.
The proceeding was a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.